Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, a weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a nutrition and functional medicine geek. An interesting fact about me, I'm currently obsessed with Queer Eye on Netflix. Best show ever. Hello, beautiful one. Hello, hello. This is another episode of The Gut Goddess Show. And this week, we are talking skin and all things acne, spots, blemishes, pimples, whatever you want to call it. I have an awesome woman here that I'm interviewing, Amy from Skin Therapy. Me and Amy have been online buddies for a while. We still have never actually met in person, but one day we will, Amy. We will do it. She lives in Brighton. I live in Glasgow. We're not exactly, you know, pop in for a cup of tea distance, but one day we'll get there. And what we're talking about today is dealing basically with adult acne. You know, when we are teenagers, we all get a bit pimply and spotty, and then we grow out of it most of the time. But I've had a lot of clients that say to me, Kezia, I'm like 35 and my face is covered in spots. I've got bacne. I've got acne on my butt. You know, they're still struggling and they've never actually had a time period where they have clear skin. So that's what we're talking about with Amy today, which is super awesome. So we're going to look at her own journey as someone who struggled with acne basically most of her life and how she's managed to clear up her skin. She's going to share with us the three basic tips of how to really see a shift in your health. And she has tried everything. She's also going to share with us the things that she tried that did not work. So the things not to waste your time with. And we're going to just dive in deep to why her quote unquote healthy diet didn't work, why skincare isn't really going to get to the root issue, you know, buying expensive products isn't necessarily going to shift the needle when it comes to your acne and what to do instead. So it's going to be an awesome show. But before we dive on in, if you are wanting to get a little bit of help with your meal planning, a little bit of support in that, as I know many of you will be, and in the show, what we're going to do, me and Amy talk a lot about sugar. And if you're really struggling with sugar cravings and you struggle with knowing what to eat instead, then make sure you grab your free sugar-free reset meal plan that I've created for you. You just head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/sweet and the meal plan will be there for you, or it is in the show notes. So make sure you download that. Another thing is, if you are here and listening and you are on a device or a computer or phone, then leave me a review. That would be super, super lovely. That would be really nice. Otherwise, let's dive into this show, this awesome conversation with Amy, and I will see your beautiful self super soon. Bye. So welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, Amy.
Hi.
Yay. This is very exciting. You have been on the show before, back in its many podcast reiterations or podcast past lives. So I'm super excited to have you on again because you are my literal go-to skin makeup person. I always think, what would Amy say?
What would Amy do?
Literally. Not WWJD, WWA. Yes, anything, makeup, skin, anything like that. I'm always like, what would Amy do?
Thanks.
So tell everyone listening, whereabouts in the world are you and what do you do?
So right now, I would love to say that I'm in sunny Brighton, but it's not. I am in Brighton, but it is not sunny. It is very grey and very chilly. And it's the middle of April. We should be kind of having some, at least a little glimmer of summer, but no. And I'm a health coach and acne expert. I have a blog, Skin Therapy, which is all about natural healing of acne. I myself suffered for a long, long time with my skin, and after, you know, numerous run-ins with my local GP, I finally just gave up on conventional medicine and went at it alone. And yeah, that was about 4 years ago. And it took me a long time to heal my skin. I was experimenting a lot, found a lot of things that don't work and a few key things that really do work. Yeah, my blog is all about spreading the world of natural healing, because it is becoming, I'm seeing a lot more, you know, especially girls coming off the pill. And that's a lot, you know, causes a lot of problems for many women, you know, and they're trying everything and nothing is working. So they start looking at more natural alternatives and find me.
Yay. Oh, well, there's going to be lots of juicy things for us to dive into. I'm excited even by just the few things you mentioned. I'm like, oh, yes, post-pill, detoxing, skin things, things that don't, like, because especially with acne, there's so many things that you can try that are recommended. Oh, so many, like,
so many things.
They're, it's like, a bit, you know, overwhelming. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like every single, you know, you could Google acne remedies and, you know, you've got, I mean, just things that you put on your skin. There's like a gazillion different topical, miracle topical treatments, whether, you know, whether people are putting like neat apple cider vinegar or neat lemon juice on their skin, which,
oh, yeah,
by the way, do not endorse at all. I actually have a blog post which covers all the natural ingredients. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, it's natural, it's totally safe, but that's far from the truth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, things like lemon juice, they're highly acidic. It's not what you should be putting on your skin. It will just damage the skin even further. And it's also, you know, lemon is it's photosensitive, so it can basically cause more pigmentation if you go out in the sunlight after, you know, applying lemon juice directly to your skin. So those kind of things are not good, but, you know, you'll see them recommended by, you know, tons of people all over the internet saying, you know, putting, you know, using, mixing up some lemon and cinnamon and, you know,
oh,
whatever else, yeah, and then like applying all over your face is like a miracle cure for acne. And it's, you know, actually, to be honest, while I love skincare and, you know, I'm all about, you know, I was a makeup artist in my previous life, and I, you know, I work in the skincare industry, I don't actually, you know, skincare is very low down on the list of things, of priorities. You know, a lot of my clients come to me and they, you know, they're like, oh, I'm trying this and this and this on my skin. And they're constantly looking for this kind of like miracle product, which is going to work. And unfortunately with skincare, it's not, because you're just it's just, you know, even if just something does work, it'll always be just temporary, because, you know, you're just masking the symptoms. You're not actually kind of fixing the root cause. So skincare is very a lot lower down than people expect. I think people get a little bit frustrated with that, because I think that skincare is something that you can control. You feel like you're more in control of your skin if you're like actively applying things to your face, but actually it's, you know, a lot of other things that are much more beneficial than kind of giving your skincare routine a complete overhaul.
Yeah, no, I find that a lot when clients often come to me with like lots of supplements that they're taking, or even healthy foods sometimes that they're eating. But if there's not, even if they've got a quote unquote healthy diet, but you've still not gotten to the root cause of it, you're like, I don't care how much kale you're eating. If you're not digesting it and assimilating it, it's not about the whatever the popular health food is. It's about getting to the whatever the root issue is. So you mentioned before that you tried lots of things that didn't really work or didn't help. Can you give us a bit of a rundown of the things that you were maybe hoping would help clear your skin overnight and haven't worked?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of loads of supplements, and like we've just said, you know, I was on a really strict healthy diet. You know, looking back, I now know that I was too strict. That was one of the issues that was preventing me from making the progress that I was hoping. I was being too restrictive. But along, you know, at the time I thought I was being really healthy. Lots of steamed vegetables, lots of grilled meats, like lean meat, and some, you know, like sweet potato and maybe quinoa, and, you know, maybe a little bit of coconut oil here and there. Yeah. Definitely not, you know, to a lot of people, it seemed like the healthiest. And it's really funny now, like, before people were always like, oh my God, you eat so healthy. You're like the healthiest person I know. And then now people make jokes about the food I eat because I'm like, just take off this huge chunk of butter and cook my veg, like half a pack of butter. But that's an exaggeration, by the way. I just not.
It totally isn't in my house. My husband will literally eat a lot of butter.
We get through about like maybe 3 or 4 packs of butter a week. We do
have to
butter. And people just, you know, and it's, I guess it's a sign of the world we live in that they're really shocked and they don't consider it as a healthy choice. But you know, I, from my face, my body, everything about eating a lot of butter says otherwise. You know, the diet that I was on, I was still unhappy. I was miserable. I wasn't, you know, my skin was like still really bad, and I was putting all that in it, you know, it caused me to be stricter and stricter and stricter with my diet, and my skin was getting worse and worse and worse. And then I was trying supplements. You know, one of the most famous supplements is Estroblock. It's hailed as like the acne cure supplement. It's like the number one supplement for acne. But nope, did nothing. I took large doses because, you know, they say that, oh, if it's not working, then increase the dose. Took more and more, like, bigger doses. Took it for about a year, and absolutely nothing. So I can, you know, categorically say that that is not the miracle cure for acne, because it didn't really do anything. For me, I even tried it again when I changed my diet round. And I started eating in the way that eventually was the way that helped clear my skin, thinking that perhaps maybe it wasn't working because I wasn't eating right in the first place. But even second time round, didn't have a huge impact on my skin. I've obviously tried skincare products. None of them worked at all. What else have I done? Tried blue light therapy. I've tried abrasion and like the blue light therapy. I have a theory on is that it's, you know, blue light therapy is excellent, and there are a lot of studies that show it is highly effective against acne, but it fights bacteria. And a lot of time, I think blue light works better for teenagers, where it is quite a sort of where the acne is more
of a kind of,
yeah, it's just not a chronic, deep,
kind of more temporary. Yeah.
Whereas as you get older, you know, if your acne is coming out as an adult, it's a sign of like chronic inflammation in the body. So blue light is not going to, you know, it can't beat the inflammation that's there. Whereas red light therapy, or infrared or red light therapy actually helps with inflammation. So I actually had a lot better, even though there's not many studies on red light therapy.
It's not loads.
I actually found, I saw much better results in my skin from red light therapy than I did from blue. Whereas it's blue that's the kind of acne.
Yes, the acne light.
And the, you know, Neutrogena have one out, and loads of other brands have these, you know, acne lights, which are, they're based on blue light, which I think would work, they tend to work really well for teenagers. But for adult acne, it's so much more complicated. You know, and it's expensive, and there's so much more you can do with, you know, with your diet, with your lifestyle, which, you know, has a much, much more positive impact than spending a lot of money on some device that you have to sit on your face for, like, you know, 20 minutes.
Ages.
Like, yeah, 20 minutes twice a day for best results. It just, it's very consuming. And, you know, you do that again, you know, we're going back to something that's kind of taking up time in your life that you could be using to do something that makes you feel really happy or really good about yourself, rather than doing something that is all about the acne. And it's all about, you know, it's so easy to become obsessed. And I've been there, you know, obsessed with like every waking moment. You're just, you constantly either thinking about your skin or doing something to actively try and, you know, minimize your symptoms, or, you know, and kind of minimize the appearance of acne. And, you know, that's just not a, that's just not a good way to live. And all those kind of negative feelings towards yourself and towards how you look, and, you know, spending all your time just focusing on one negative thing rather than looking at all the things that you're great at, investing time into doing something that makes you really happy. It's, you know, the amazing how the mind can, you know, completely change.
And that's
one of the few things that is a, you know, one of my key things that makes a difference is switching that mindset and turning off that negative,
that negative fixation on just, just get skin sorted. I think that, I think mindset is a really important thing. For so, because it's so easy to focus on that one area of bloating, skin,
whether it's weight,
hormones, weight, periods,
anything,
whatever. And also, like you said, just not doing the basics. I find this all the time with people that I work with, is actually they maybe have done a lot of research and they know a lot of information, but actually they're really, and they're maybe spending, like you say, a lot of money on supplements or therapies, or, and some of them are beneficial and helpful, but they're not getting the best results from those other things because there's just these basic kind of fundamental things that are not working right. These kind of either pathways in the body or kind of depletions that are just, you've just got to kind of nail a little bit first in order for them to really, really see those results. So what have you found in your journey? So obviously, are those all the things that weren't so helpful in terms of getting to where you want to be? What would you say were the things, like the key things that made, that really shifted the needle when it came to you and your skin?
So the first thing for me was I totally changed my diet. I started, as I said before, I was just like really upset. I thought I was being like the most healthiest. I was eating literally the healthiest diet I could possibly eat. I was
sounds very Instagram worthy, your diet, quinoa and
I mean, it was like, you know, grilled vegetable or grilled lean meats, vegetable, like steamed vegetables, you know, very, you know, and tons of vegetables, like loads of vegetables. You know, and I just, you know, it got to a point where I was like, look, I don't really enjoy eating. I never had any chocolate, nothing sweet, nothing like that. I was like, this isn't how like life should be. And I don't, you know what, I really can't even remember like what I stumbled across, where I discovered, and I sort of like discovered a sort of like the ketogenic diet. And I thought, you know what, that's like something I've not tried like at all. So I'm going to give it a go. Like I was like, you know, desperate. I was like, I'll give anything a try. And within a month, my skin looked remarkably better. I'd shed some weight, like some excess weight, that I was carrying around my middle, which was like just, you know, getting on my nerves. So that was something that I didn't even intend to happen, but it did. And the main thing for me, which actually kind of kicked in like after about 2 weeks, and I suddenly realized that I wasn't craving sugar anymore. I didn't feel the need. Whereas before I'd be like every week, I'd be like hankering for a takeaway on a Friday night or something. I just want something that wasn't my boring steamed diet. I just want something more. I just think it's going to satisfy me. And like 2 weeks into eating a ketogenic diet, which is very high fat, very low carb, I suddenly realized that actually, you know what, I don't want sugar. I'm not even thinking about takeaway. I'm just enjoying my food. I'm feeling full. I'm feeling really energetic. And I was just like, you know what, this is great. So I carried on being like quite strict. with this sort of ketogenic diet. After about maybe like 6 weeks, I started having the odd like meal where I wasn't, you know, being like super strict with it. But, you know, I know, but I was still break. I mean, my skin was much, much better. And I, you know, people have started complimenting it. And I was thinking, okay, so it's definitely made more of a difference than anything that I've tried before.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with it. But then I was like, it's still not, you know, and maybe part of me was just being impatient. Another part of me was just like, I'm not quite there yet. I was getting these sort of like hard lumps under my jaw. And I was like, that's kind of like lymphatic, like it's, you know, you're like lymph nodes are there. I was like, there's something. So I then started looking at like lymphatic kind of stimulation and kind of getting body going. I did kind of like started like doing some more exercise to help with that. Mm-hmm. But I also then came across this fluoride connection.
Fluoride.
Fluoride kind of like clogs up. It can clog up your lymphatic system, and it basically replaces the iodine in your body, and which your thyroid is essential. Obviously, thyroid like governs all your hormones. So
yeah,
your androgens, your progesterone, all those hormones which are very heavily linked with acne.
Yeah,
kind of your thyroid is the one governing all that.
Yes.
And all these like little things started like clicking into place for me, and I was like, hang on a minute, like I don't live in a fluoridated water, the area that I live in isn't fluoridated, though some areas in England are. I'm trying to think where I know it's like
I don't think Scotland is.
I don't think Scotland is,
right.
I think like Bedfordshire, it's kind of like the middle of Nottingham, West Midlands, Bedfordshire, like Northumbria and Durham, Derby, and like Cumbria. I think those sort of places are like worth checking, because they do artificially fluoridate. Yeah.
And it's worth saying, back in the day, probably, I think it was maybe 30, maybe not even 30 years ago, the fluoride used to be subscribed to people with overactive thyroid to shut thyroid function down. So it used to be a drug to help cure Graves' disease.
Yeah, it was up until the 50s. It was prescribed as a thyroid suppressant.
Yeah.
So it's known
to very suppressing thyroid in the body
function. And obviously it's in our toothpaste. The membrane in the inside of our mouth is so thin. It's so easy to absorb.
Oh yeah, very easy.
You know, anything that's kind of lurking in your toothpaste or your mouthwash, even more so if you've got any like cuts or anything in there. But so I just, you know, I thought this was really interesting, and I was like, you know, perhaps I'm, you know, maybe over researching and over analyzing something. But you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm
going to try. Easy to do with all this stuff.
I'd done a hair mineral test. It had shown, sort of insulin resistance as kind of one of a key imbalance. Mm-hmm. It also did show like an underactive thyroid up there, not as much so as the insulin resistance, but it was there as a sort of underlying issue. So I was like, things are definitely clicking into place here. So I obviously didn't have to worry about my tap water that I was drinking, but I did switch to a fluoride-free toothpaste. Within like 4 to 6 months, I had all these like bumps around my jaw, and it took nothing is going to be a miraculous cure. You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, have to recover when you're looking at acne, and your skin is the kind of outermost organ. So it's going to take the longest time to heal out of all the, you know, whatever's going on inside. So it's still, I'd say probably like 4 to 6 months, but slowly but surely, like everything kind of like healing up. And I was, you know, cutting out the fluoride alongside doing a little bit more exercise, you know, trying to, you know, getting the heart pumping a little bit more frequently was a huge factor in, you know, kind of reducing the toxic load of my body and helping to like rebalance my hormones it's hard to say, who knows, that, you know, the kind of high fat diet may have like, you know, cleared things up if I'd left it long enough on its own. But I do think, and the more research I do into the kind of fluoride acne connection, the more convinced I am that it is like a terrible, terrible thing to be putting in your body. And it's now, you know, I'd say over the last year or so, it's become one of my like key things that I get my clients to cut out. And I've got quite a few American clients, and obviously that is a real struggle because they have to basically change the entire way they eat because their water is fluoridated. The food that they're, you know, if they're drinking beer, that a lot of the beers are being brewed with fluoridated water. So it means that, you know, and it's just, there are so many things that they have to take into consideration. And, you know, obviously if you live in any of those areas that I mentioned in the UK that fluoridates their water, it, you know, and if you really, if you're struggling with your acne, that diet and, you know, supplements aren't helping with, then you've got to start looking at something like, you know, the potential that it could be the fluoride that's, you know, preventing, especially if it's around your like mouth, jawline, where you've got, you know, lymphatic system running, you know, you've got to think of that as being a potential cause because the research on it is extraordinary and it's kind of like hidden a little bit, you know, I think
it's not obvious.
I feel like it's a bit of a conspiracy theory.
I'm all about conspiracy theories.
Kind of like being, you know, hushed up a little bit, the kind of the real issues behind it. And everyone's quite, it's the same argument that we have about eating a high fat diet. Everyone's like, no, it's going to give you heart disease. You can't have it. But it's, you know, you've got to really look into the actual facts and not just what's been sort of plucked out and
The propaganda
exaggerated with propaganda. And you know, it's the statistics for, you know, but you know, a lot of people think that it's, you know, so important for tooth health, and you know, dentists recommend, you know, it's vital for tooth health, but there's not actually a huge amount of evidence to support that. And you know, the time that fluoridated water was like introduced, you know, dental hygiene in general was becoming more of
our education around it.
Just put it on that, you know, we were actually just getting better at looking after our teeth. You know, so,
and it's a really important point actually of, you know, looking at your diet and looking at lifestyle factors. But actually what you've really hit on is like, is there external toxins that are making it really difficult for your body to heal? And I think that's where it's really important to get your own detective hat on, or get someone's help in the detective work. Cause I have had the same and seen the same a lot with clients, you know, clients that have been doing loads of really great things. And then it turns out, you know, I discover they actually live in a really moldy house and they are, you know, they're constantly being exposed to toxic mold all the time, or they have tons of mercury fillings, or they're eating tons of fish that's high in mercury, which is another toxicity. Or, you know, when I did my hair mineral test, it was arsenic that was really, really high in my system. And that was probably from a mixture of rice and some fish and a whole bunch of different things. So, it, you know, diet and lifestyle is really important, but also looking, and that will be enough for some people, but for a lot of us, there's these external toxins, you know, your fluorides, other stuff in water as well that can rock up, that makes a really, really big issue, really, really big deal. And so what would you say if someone was listening to this and they are an adult, a woman, and are still struggling with acne and it's still annoying them and it's been that way for years, which I know many people listening will be really, really, you know, we'll still be women being like, why do I still have acne? I'm 35.
And then you expect it to go, you know, you expect it to go. And I think that's why teenage acne, like I remember it affecting me, but I don't remember it affecting me to the same extent that it affected me as an adult. Cause I think I always just thought it would pass when I was a teenager. I was like, oh, I'm out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get to like 23 and you're like, hang on, I'm not growing out of it. And
the
future looks a little bit bleak and you're like, will I grow out of this? Like what's the deal here? So I would say that, you know, eat a high fat diet. I didn't finish telling the story. You know, I don't eat a ketogenic diet now. I eat a very high fat diet. But I don't restrict myself on carbs. I learned that restricting my diet was not good for my mental health and mental health.
And high fat diets aren't always, a ketogenic diet isn't always that beneficial for thyroid health.
Exactly. Yeah, you need health. Carbs. You need,
yeah,
like
you carbs. Need carbs for your T3 conversion and yeah. your liver. You do. But different people are different, because I have experimented with ketogenic diet as well. And it was really helpful for lots of things, but
long term.
Yeah. But generally everyone could do with eating a higher fat diet. Actually.
Yeah, for sure. But there's a big difference between like eating a high fat diet and then eating a ketogenic diet. And you know, and what's great now is that, you know, I don't have the stress of, you know, like, oh my God, like yesterday I ate an entire pack of mini eggs, because I got really anxious. I got really anxious that, they were going to go for the rest of the year and I wouldn't be able to have
them. Yeah. Cause they do disappear. Yeah. That would, yeah.
That's really... And I just like literally ate the entire bag in like about 10 minutes. And you know what? I don't worry about it anymore, because I know that, and you know, it's the mental connection. So if anyone is listening to this and, you know, is really struggling with their skin, the first thing I'd be like is eat more fat. Your body needs fat to produce the hormones that it needs to kind of keep your skin clear. You know, eating more fat is the only way. You know, vegetables are great and they're high in antioxidants. They're going to help reduce inflammation, but they're not going to build you the hormones. You know, if you've come off the pill, you're going to be deficient in certain hormones, and you need the fat to kind of help balance your body. And fat is really the only thing that's going to do that. So you need to increase healthy fats. And it's not like eating an extra half an avocado a day. You know, I always try and get my clients to eat like two fatty foods, whether it's like nut butter or normal butter or like goat cheese or feta, if you can tolerate dairy, and you know, salmon or some like good like fatty cut of meat, or you know, there's tons of things.
Oh yeah, tons of tasty options.
Tons of high fat, you know, and avocados and coconut products and everything like that. Loads of options there. And try and fit in like two per meal, you know, to get started. I think that's the main thing. And then also, yeah, cutting out, you know, looking at what could be like, look at the kind of key toxins in your immediate environment and your own home. Fluoride being, I believe, kind of the key one that we need to be, you know, aware of. Especially if you're living in a fluoridated area. But even that, even just switching to a fluoride-free toothpaste can make a, you know, I people that have had really bad, you know, fluoride-related acne can just switch to a fluoride-free toothpaste, and that be enough. Yeah.
It's a great place to start, and quite easy to do. It's not.
Yeah, so easy to do. And, you know, and it's just something that you can start incorporating into routine, and, you know, 4-6 months out down the line, you could look back and be like, wow, actually looking back at where I was 6 months ago, my skin is totally different. And I think that, and then the third one, which I think is so overlooked, but it is so, so important, is your emotional health. If you're feeling crap about yourself and feeling miserable about the way you look, if you're obsessing over your skin, if your skin is stopping you from being, you know, the best version of yourself, then you need to, you know, address that the emotional aspect of your health, because guaranteed that is putting a block for you getting clear skin. Whether, you know, some people are able to do it themselves through meditation and self-love practice. I personally was never able to like get on board with that. I'm too much of a busy person. I'm like always on the go.
Yes.
I cannot meditate myself, cannot, you know, do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm awful. So, you know, things that worked for me was going to a Reiki healer. Sort of spiritual healing. It sounds really kind of kooky, but I you know, it's a great way. I spent the first couple of sessions just in tears, not really knowing where it was coming from. It's just all this emotion coming out, And I also, you know, had a few sessions with a counselor as well. Mm-hmm. Not about anything in particular. I just wanted someone, you know, to mm-hmm. talk about my emotions, and
yeah.
it wasn't related to anything and didn't really know me, who I could just be totally honest with. And that, you know, made such a huge difference. And I 100% believe, I know a lot of people think that it's something that, you know, oh no, it's all just rubbish. You know, I can heal my skin through food and supplements. But you know, if you've got a block there, if you've got an emotional block, then you're never going to be able to get past that. And I think so that it's so important and so overlooked. People just think like, oh, you know, but then it is a difficult situation because you feel like, you know, well, if I can just clear my skin enough through diet, then it will make me happier and I won't worry about enough. But I can tell you, even once you've cleared your acne, the fear of acne is still there. You'll be, you know, it takes a long time to kind of stop being afraid of eating the wrong thing, or, you know, eating too much chocolate, or having too much, you know, having one too many cocktails and it causing a breakout. And, you know, we shouldn't be living in fear of acne coming back. So if any of those feelings kind of resonate with you, then, you know, emotional healing is something that will be a massive part, a huge part. Mm. You've got to break down that wall to allow your body to fully heal, because, you know, whereas if you're suffering with acne and you really don't care, you know, a spot doesn't bother you, you know, it just comes and you're like, oh, okay, whatever, it's not going to stop me getting on with my life. Mm. Then, you know, you're in a place where your emotional block, you don't have an emotional block. It's probably going to be something more, you know, internal, or like, you know, digestive, yeah, or hormone or something that you can, yeah. Whereas if you are feeling, you know, if it's affecting your life in any way that's not allowing you to be, you know, the most vibrant and confident person that you can be, then there's an emotional block there that you really have to break down before making like some real progress.
And you're right, I think that is one of the most underrated, underestimated, ignored aspects of people healing their body and getting healthy and finding and feeling good again. But it is essential, 100%. Yeah. Whatever the issue is, whatever it is, whether it's weight or energy or chronic fatigue, you've got to look at the emotional side.
Yeah, and I actually think that is probably, out of all of it, the most important. I think if you can, mm-hmm. you can control your emotion, the emotional aspects, then you're pretty much like over halfway there. Mm-hmm. You know, I know with acne that, you know, if you get over that emotional block, I think a lot of the stress surrounding, you know, food and acne is, you know, like it's a lot of it is because of you're scared of it. And that's that kind of stress and those feelings of, of course you're going to break out if you're kind of literally genuinely believing that eating this bit of chocolate is going to break out. You know, you need to be confident in the way and not worry about it. And, you know, if you can get over that, then you can enjoy, you know, I think a lot of people get scared that they have to eat like this really healthy diet for the rest of their life and they can't enjoy food. And that is not the case. You've just got to commit to overcoming, you know, any emotional trauma. And it can be from anything. It could just be actually just from having acne, but it could also stem from kind of like childhood or adolescent, you know, traumas, whether it's, you know, families breaking apart or, you know, a relationship going bad. Anything. It can be big and it can be small. It's just, you know, and it can be more to do with the fact, like how you as a person handle situations. Like, you know, I know for me, and I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, kind of emotional healing was such a big part for me, was that I bottle everything up. You know, I don't really talk about my feelings much. So, you know, that's exactly the kind of person that would, you know, bottle everything up and then need to you know, by bottling everything up, you are building like an emotional barrier, which will be preventing your, you know, your body from healing properly.
Oh, I love this conversation, Amy. So much wisdom. And it is, I think that is a great pronged approach. You need, you know, there's dietary aspects that make a difference. Yeah. You've got to look at toxins and you've got to look at like emotional toxins.
Yeah. And the three of them together
so helpful.
Is, Yeah, the three of them together. Is, you know, it's not just one thing with acne. It's not just like one, you know, you can't just make one change and expect it all to clear up. It's a lot of things, and it can feel like quite a daunting change on your lifestyle, but you know, give it a couple of weeks and you'll be feeling so much better. You know, I always try and tell my clients, like, think, like, tune into your body and listen to it and tune into the little things that are changing. Cause you're not going to see massive improvement in your skin in the first month, maybe even 2 months. It's not going to be dramatic, you know, instant clearing of acne. It kind of just gradually gets better over the course of 3 to 6 to 12 months. Yeah. But what you can notice is that, you know, are you sleeping a bit better? Are you not craving sugar? Are you, you know, got more energy in the day? Are you not, you know, are you not getting tired after lunch anymore? There are so many little things that you can see changes in your body, which are signs that are telling you that you're heading in the right direction. You just got to, you know, hang in there and just enjoy the ride.
Ah, I love it. So where can people find out and get more of your wisdom, Amy?
I'm quite active on my Instagram page.
It's a lovely Instagram.
Amy_skintherapy, and that's skin with a Y, so SKYN therapy. And also my website, skintherapy.com. There's tons of like free resources on the blog. And then I also offer coaching sessions for people who want that, you know, extra bit of help.
Brilliant. Well, I will link to all of those different things in the show notes. For those of you listening, if you have any questions at all, feel free to go and head over to Amy's Instagram. You could message her there, or you can message me on mine at Supernaturally Healthy, whatever works. But otherwise, find all the show notes at supernaturallyhealthy.org/blog. Otherwise, thank you, Amy, for joining us. And I'm sure you'll be on again. You may be our regular recurring guest.
Yeah, no, that's great. Because I've actually got a really interesting, you know, for a lot of people think that dairy is the evil.
Yes, we should definitely do that in a future one.
Food. But actually, and I'm talking, you know, it sounds like I'm obsessed with fluoride, but actually there's a really interesting theory behind why some people break out, drinking dairy, yet like Maasai warriors can drink like up to 2 liters of milk a day and not have a single breakout. So some interesting things to talk about there.
Oh yeah, we'll have to have you back on.
Amazing.
Ah, thank you so much, Amy, for joining us.
Thank you so much. See you all later.
Bye.